covered.
Really full.
You're miles away. Good morning, everyone. Welcome to our service this morning. Happy New Year.
Happy New Year.
It's good to see you all here this morning. We've had a few empty weeks with Christmas and everything. It's nice to have some people today. Let's start off with family news this morning, because as far as I know, there's nothing going on. Girls Brigade don't start back till next week, do they? Bible studies don't start back till the 16th. There is a church meeting next Sunday. Do you want to say anything about it, Winnie, or shall I?
Well, I do have the deacon's slips. If anybody wants to nominate anybody, you've only got a fortnight left to do it now. And as you know, we've just leave three deacons now that Rose has come to the end of a three-year term, though she is willing to stand again. So please, if you wish to nominate anybody at all for the diaconate, get a slip from me and let me have it back by the 16th.
So that's in time for the AGM in February.
That's right.
Yeah. The meeting next week is a normal church meeting, but we're going to have it on Zoom, so that we're not sitting around masked up and it's, yeah. So Zoom on Sunday at 2 p.m. If you have trouble with that but still want to come to the meeting, come and see me and we'll see if we can sort something out. Right, let's see.
Hopefully.
Morning has broken.
But the deliberate
mistake. You've got the order of service
there. No, I know. I was sitting there and I thought,
And it's nice to have some sunlight this morning, isn't it? Slightly better day than we've had recently. Let's pray together. Father, thank you for the new day. Thank you for the new year. Thank you for this day and this time that we can come together in this place to meet together, to meet with you. Father, may we know your presence with us. May we hear your voice speaking to us. Would you bless this time? And may everything that's said and done this morning be to your glory. In Jesus' name. Amen. We're going to sing again. All people that on earth do dwell.
Thank you.
to praise God. But we don't always feel like praising, do we? And I'm going to read our first reading this morning. It's from Psalm 13, verses 1 to 6. And it says this: How long, Lord, will you forget me forever? How long will you hide your face from me? How long must I wrestle with my thoughts and day after day have sorrow in my heart? How long will my enemy triumph over me? Look on me and answer, Lord my God. Give light to my eyes or I will sleep in death. And my enemy will say, I have overcome him. And my foes will rejoice when I fall. But I trust in your unfailing love. My heart rejoices in your salvation. I will sing the Lord's praise, for he has been good to me. I think at the close of 2020, well, a lot of us are thinking, how long, Lord? The hope that we may have had for a swift end to all this COVID stuff is fading as we enter 2022. Are we still hoping things might be better? You know what, when it comes to COVID, I have no idea. I have no idea how long this might go on for, or even what even the next few weeks might hold. But I can tell you one thing, although I can cry out how long, I can also say to God, I trust in your unfailing love. My heart rejoices in your salvation. I will sing the Lord's praise, for he has been good to me. Our trust in God doesn't depend on COVID. It doesn't depend on how quickly he answers our prayers. When we come to our prayer box in a moment, we'll find names and situations on there that we've been praying for a long time. And sometimes we think, how long, Lord? But we continue to lift them. We continue to pray because we trust in God's love. We trust it because of what he's done for us in the past, in sending Jesus, in calling us into his family, in the blessings he's shown us and this place and people he's given to us. And we trust it because of what he's promised us in the future. So we come to our prayer time. What people and situations do we need to be praying and lifting to God as we enter this new year? If we can have the prayer box up, Rose, so we've got it ready for us. Is there anything else that we need to be praying for? I'm going to ask Mike to lead us in prayers this morning. There's a microphone there. Those are the ones that we've had to mention.
Before we start, let's say thank you to God first. Let's praise him. Because he has answered so many prayers for us, and though there's some we think are still remaining unanswered. So before we start, let's just say thank you, God, in our hearts, for loving us, hearing us, and knowing us. We've been asked for certain things this morning. Lord and Father in heaven, we bless and praise you in the wonderful name of Jesus. We pray, Lord, you'll open your arms and your healing hands upon these we come to mention now, Lord. Dear Father, those we know and love, please stretch out now and heal as we pray. Thank you, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's sing the screen, Rose. We're going to have to look around here. Lord, there's so many problems in this world. The main thing is the COVID, which is the new strain which is spreading rapidly throughout the world. Even though it's not so serious, Lord, it's still making so many millions of people ill. We know, Lord, that's not your will. We just pray you come across this and against this in the wonderful name of Jesus. Father, we just pray that you would take it away from this earth. Thank you, Lord. We pray for the countries of this world where people are starving through war, hunger and greed and corruption, Lord. There's so many children starving to death, especially in places like the Yemen, Lord, and Somalia, and so many places throughout the world, your children are suffering. We pray for the resources to be given, Lord. These children do not go hungry anymore. We pray for our government, Lord. Perhaps a change in their hearts, Lord, that they will listen to you, that Christian ethics will rule supreme in those who govern us. Lord, we ask you to speak to them with your Holy Spirit, deep in their hearts, so they know exactly what to do in these times of real problems. Again, Lord, we pray for the defeat of the COVID virus around the world, that your arms surround all affected people and your healing hands will cleanse this virus. Lord and Father, we ask all this in the wonderful name of our Saviour Jesus Christ. Amen. And praise you, Lord, as we know you've heard and will act on these prayers. Thank you.
tricky exercise this morning. I'm kind of relying on technology, and I'm hoping that works, and I'm hoping my girls at the back are stop pulling faces at each other and do some stuff for me. I've mentioned that we can trust in the love of God in difficult times because of the promises he's made us for the future. So my question to you is, do you have any favourite Bible verses that speak of hope or promise? It's not a trick question. It isn't a test of your Bible knowledge. So if you know chapter and verse, that's great. If not, if you can say, there's one about, might prompt someone to be able to find it or Natalie to look it up for me. And you're going to write them down. So what does the Bible say that gives you hope?
Yeah. Cast all your anxieties on him, for he cares for you. Knowing that God is always there, you can always just give him anything that's on your heart, and he cares for us. So anything you're worried about, you just pass on to God.
Well, I'm not going to ask to read the whole passage, but John chapter 3 means a lot to me, where Jesus is speaking to Nicodemus and telling him about being born again. And being born again in the Holy Spirit. And this is such a wonderful passage. And at the very end, John 3:16. We'll read that in a minute.
I don't know whether this is the correct verse or not, but I think Jeremiah 31 or... Jeremiah 31 verse 33, and it could be wrong, but it says, I will make a covenant of the hearts. And I remember hearing that, and I thought to myself, well, that's what it's all about.
Yes, there's something I would like to mention is that it's Matthew chapter 6, verse 15, and it's the area where Jesus is actually teaching his disciples the Lord's Prayer. And that is a prayer, obviously, I feel is very important for us, and it means a lot to me.
I'm afraid I won't be able to read it out because my memory's bad these days. But 1 Corinthians 13, and that's a lovely verse because what it tells us there is that the greatest thing is to love. And that's, I think, what we should all do, is to care about others.
Romans chapter 8 and verse 1 says this: there is therefore now no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus, who do not walk according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. Great encouragement.
In 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 9, for God did not appoint us to suffer wrath, but to receive salvation through our Lord Jesus Christ. He died for us, that whether we are awake or asleep, we may live together with him. Therefore, encourage one another and build each other up, just as in fact you are doing.
Thank you. from Psalms. I think it's 121. I will lift up mine eyes unto the hills. From whence cometh my help? My help cometh from the Lord, who made heaven and earth. He will not suffer thy foot to be moved.
Sorry, I thought I knew this, and I don't remember where it comes from. But it's in the Psalms. I thought it was Psalm 24, but I don't think it is, and I can't find it. Wait on the Lord, be of good courage, and he will strengthen your heart.
If I can, please. Yeah. Mine is Zephaniah 3:17. The Lord thy God, in the midst of thee, is mighty. He will save. He will rejoice over thee with joy. He will rest in his love. He will joy over thee with singing. It always makes me feel really special that we sing praises and worship to the Lord. And while I'm doing that to him, he's singing over me because he loves me that much.
What was that verse again, Shirley? Zephaniah 3:17. Thank you. I don't need to read it out, but I think Psalm 91. I think a load of people have probably been praying this during the COVID. It's a long psalm, but yeah, 91.
You might have to read it out. Because I don't know it off the top of my head. Oh. He who dwells in the shelter of the Most High will rest in the shadow of the Almighty. I will say of the Lord, he is my refuge and my fortress, my God in whom I trust. And it goes on, and it's good, so read the rest of it. Any more? Mike, did you want to share?
To me, these are the most important verses in the Bible, and starting from John 3:16. But God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. But God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but to save the world through him. Whoever believes in him is not condemned. Whoever does not believe stands condemned already, because he has not believed in the name of God's one and only Son.
I'm going to give this list of verses to the girls at the back, and they're going to, at some point, copy some out on those pieces of paper for me in nice and big writing.
Not
Psalm 91. Can't fit that one. Let's sing again. God is working his purpose out.
Thank you.
Rainey's going to come and bring our reading to us this morning.
The reading's from Philippians chapter 3, verses 7 to 14. It's where the Apostle Paul writes, "But whatever were gains to me, I now consider loss for the sake of Christ. What is more, I consider everything a loss because of the surpassing worth of knowing Christ Jesus my Lord, for whose sake I have lost all things. I consider them garbage that I may gain Christ and be found in him, not having a righteousness of my own that comes from the law, but that which is through faith in Christ, the righteousness that comes from God on the basis of faith. I want to know Christ, yes, to know the power of his resurrection and participation in his sufferings, becoming like him in his death, and so somehow attaining to the resurrection from the dead. Not that I've already obtained all this, or have already arrived at my goal, but I press on to take hold of that for which Christ Jesus took hold of me. Brothers and sisters, I do not consider myself yet to have taken hold of it, but one thing I do, forgetting what is behind and straining towards what is ahead, I press on towards the goal to win the prize for which God has called me heavenwards in Christ Jesus."
Time, isn't it, when we look back over the year that's gone and forward to the year to come, and we think to ourselves, what do I want to be different? And we make New Year's resolutions. Has anyone done that this year? Has everyone resolved not to make New Year's resolutions anymore? Natalie, what's yours? Trying to keep your bedroom tidy. Oh, I look forward to that. I have a few. I'm in a position at the minute of rebuilding, reorientating myself, creating a new normal. What do I want that to look like? College is getting more settled. Hopefully things here are recovering somewhat, even in the midst of COVID. And it's time to stop feeling sorry for myself and make a life with what I have. And one part of that is to get more organised, especially with church and college stuff. Stop myself getting quite so stressed with everything. But another part is to get more fit. This is my New Year's resolution every year, by the way. But this year, this will be the year. I have friends who do a 5K park run on a regular basis, and I can't even run up the stairs without getting out of breath. That's two of mine. How long they'll last is another matter. Apparently 80% of New Year's resolutions fail by the second week of February. That's not a great statistic, is it? And things like gyms and diet plans make the most of that, don't they? They come up with all sorts of special offers for people to sign contracts with them in January, knowing full well that in a couple of months they'll probably never see these people again. And those people who use gyms regularly will tell you that January is the worst time to go, because the gyms are so packed with all these people rushing out to get fit. But it soon goes back to being nice and quiet again. So the question is, why? Why do we do this? This thing of making resolutions that we're not going to keep, or trying to change our lifestyle in some way all of a sudden. Well, firstly, we recognise that there's something wrong. We recognise that life isn't all that it could be. and that we have a responsibility to do something about it. For me, that recognition is that my body doesn't function as easily as it could do. I can't run or climb a couple of sets of stairs easily. And that's not going to get better if I don't do anything about it. Even if I pray, I have to make a decision to do something. I'm assured that the best way to keep a decision like that is to have a goal, a definite thing to be working towards that you can tell when you've done it. Realistically, I'm not going to be doing the park run with my friends anytime soon, but to be able to run through my local park with the dog without stopping to catch my breath would make a good start. So that's my goal. And to do that, there will be lots of little runs. I've started going around the block with the dog. Five minute walk, I can do 4 minutes running.
That's with the dog.
With the dog, yeah. The dog slows me down. But I'll try and get out on my bike again. Maybe revert back to a bit of Joe Wicks that we did in the lockdown.
No.
We were getting quite into it.
No.
Feel free to ask me on the second week in February how I'm doing. And as I thought about that, I thought to myself, I used to do that. I used to ride my bike. I did London to Brighton about 6 years ago now. We were very good at Joe Wicks during lockdown. I even, for a while, ran around the block with the dog every day. But all of that stuff that I did then isn't any good to me now. How fit I am now depends on what I'm doing now, not what I was doing 6 years ago. What am I doing now to look after my health? And that brings me to today's reading. In the bit that we didn't read before we started, Paul's been arguing against those people who want everyone coming to faith to be circumcised. There were people who said they had to become Jewish before they can become Christians. And Paul told the Philippians that in terms of his past, he's entitled to have as much confidence as anyone. Everything he should have done as a good Jew, he did. But he recognised that his Jewishness wasn't what enabled him to come to Christ. His background, his past, his actions back then didn't entitle him to become a Christian and didn't make him better than others who hadn't had or done that. In fact, what had given him so much confidence as a Jew could actually distract him from following Christ. The knowledge that he was one of God's people by birth and by circumcision and by past faithfulness could lead him to rely on that for his salvation. He could be tempted to sit back and relax. I've done that now, I'm sorted. If that's how it works, having done that, God owes him salvation. He deserves it for fulfilling all the requirements of the law. And that attitude of entitlement would take him away from the realisation of God's love and grace in Jesus Christ. So Paul says, everything I once did, everything I once had, is worth nothing to me in this new life as a Christian. Everything I put my trust in is worthless. It's worthless in comparison because Jesus is so much better that it doesn't matter that Paul has lost his status and privilege as a Pharisee. But it's also worthless in function as he recognises it didn't actually achieve anything. The goodness, the upbringing, the ritual, the self-righteousness of the past didn't earn him the perfect righteousness that comes only through Christ. All that Paul has been and done in the past hasn't achieved his salvation. And his point is then that there's no reason to ask anyone else to go through. If it achieved nothing for him, it will achieve nothing for them. But having realised and recognised that there's something wrong, having realised that his past doesn't qualify him for the kingdom of God, Paul has realised that he had to do something about it. If Paul's words were written as a New Year's resolution, he might say this. I used to think I was quite fit for my place in God's kingdom. I did all the stuff I needed to do. But now I've met Jesus, I realise that not really the case. My fitness back then isn't going to help me now. I need to set myself a goal this year. The only way I'm going to be fit for God's kingdom is to know Christ. To know the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of sharing in his sufferings. To do that, I need to live by faith rather than by rules, accepting salvation as a gift from God. Not because I deserve it, but because Christ offered it. Paul may, in his earlier life, have taken it for granted that his background and his status as a Pharisee made him fit for God's kingdom. He doesn't do the same with his faith in Christ. He recognises that it involves work. He talks about pressing on, about straining towards what is ahead. It's not about doing good works to earn salvation or serving in the church to earn salvation, but about growing ever closer to Christ. Trying, persevering in faith. Pressing on to that one goal of knowing Christ. Holding on to those promises we talked about, those Bible verses that we love so much. Knowing that the more he did that, the fitter he became. My physical fitness doesn't depend on whatever exercise I may have done in the past. It doesn't depend on an experience of years ago, however valuable that was at the time. It depends on what I'm doing today. And my fitness for the kingdom of God doesn't depend on my memories of what he's done in my life or what I've done for him. It doesn't depend on the fact that he's called me once as his child or he's called me to serve him in the church in this particular way. But Paul says, forget all that. Forget what's behind. What are you doing now? What are you doing next? Where are you going? If my fitness for the kingdom of God depends on me knowing Christ, then I need to know Christ today. I need to exercise my relationship with him. Trust in him, fix my eyes on the goal and press on towards it. Ignore the past except as a platform to step off into the future. To take hold of the promises of God in faith and hope and trust. And it's something I need to not give up as February comes and goes, as things get difficult or busy or distracting. To not look back, but to strain towards what God has for me in the future. Will I ever know Christ fully? Will I ever be perfectly fit for the kingdom? Probably not in this life, but I can know him better. I can be fitter. The Holy Spirit will build me up in that way as I submit to him. And his grace will sustain me and forgive my weakness because of his love and his promises. At the beginning of the letter to the Philippians, Paul opens with a prayer that the Philippians' love may abound more and more in knowledge and depth of insight. So they may be able to discern what is best and may be pure and blameless until the day of Christ, filled with the fruit of righteousness that comes through Jesus Christ to the glory of God. He wanted them to have and to work for what he too was working for, so that they could be fit for God. So I challenge you this new year. Will you resolve to know Christ? Will you resolve to build your fitness for the kingdom? Will you resolve to forget what is past and press on to the glory of God? Let's pray. Lord, as we look back in our lives, we can see so many times when you've been with us and blessed us. And we thank you for those. But it's easy to feel like we're salted with you. Help us to continue to press onwards, to know you more and more. And when we experience suffering in various ways in our lives, let us see that as fellowship with the suffering Jesus. let us know in that the power of his resurrection. Help us to fix our eyes on you this year, to press onward in faith and in trust in the power of your Spirit. And help us to know the hope that comes from the promises you give us. In Jesus' name. Amen. Let's sing your name. Our final hymn, Be Thou My Vision. Throughout the year. In Jesus' name.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen.